What went wrong? Romans chapter 2, verse 3 from the King James says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For 2 weeks now, I've been up here talking about creation. Just bring up the okay. F4. Bear with us for a second. There we go. All this technology, you got to figure out how to work it. All have come short of the glory of God. For 2 weeks now, I have been planning and preaching and teaching about creation. 1 week we talk about the creation of the world. 1 week we talk about the creation of man. The New Living Testament, for what we just read, says, "For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." I want to talk today about a standard of holiness. I want to talk about a standard that God has given us, expectations he has put forth to us, and some absolutes that we need to grab a hold of today. Can someone say amen for absolutes? Even if you're not sure what I'm talking about, today's message says, "Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners." I usually don't like this translation, but I read this thing and I like that. We are pretty sorry. I don't know about any of y'all, but I lived down south for a while, and that's a favorite word down there. When someone is just lazy or good for nothing, they're sorry. We are a bunch of sorry sinners, both the past and the present, and provided that we are proven we're incapable of living the glorious lives that God's willed for us. So he did it. Hallelujah. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. You know, we've been talking about the creation, as I said, and in creation, God had a couple of words that he used all the time called "it was good." Now, I'm sure on the street, I don't know if it's still a popular expression, it used to be, "it's all good." But what God did when he created, he spoke it into existence, he said at the end of it, "it's good." "It's good" translates as "it's as it should be." So if everything was as it should be, what went wrong? Why are we where we are today? Why has the world made this kind of a turn? The Bible says when the Spirit of God moved across the waters, God simply spoke and said, "Let there be light." Now, you may not know a time of darkness. You may not know what it's like to be in darkness all the time, but that's what this world was. There was no separation of dark and light. God said, "Let there be," and there was, and it was good. The light was just the way God wanted it to be. It was just as it should be. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Light's good." Light's good. He said he separated the dark from the night. He called one the day and one the night. Very convenient, because that's how we live our lives. And he said to the waters and the firmament, "Separate." They did. And it was just as it should be. Then he said to the waters, "Gather together and make the land appear." They did. And that was just as it should be. He said that there'll be lights in the heavens and the stars and the moon and the sun all separated. And God said, "That's the way it's supposed to be." All along creation, every single day, every single thing, God said, "Let there be." It happened. And he said, "Now that's the way it's supposed to be." Hallelujah to God. And when he got all done with the fishes and the animals and he got all done with that, then he said, "I got one more thing to do." I like to argue this back and forth with some folks that don't believe in a Trinity. But it says, God said, "Let us create man in our image." Now, I asked a boy one time. He was a foolish boy. He was trying to tell me there was no Trinity. I said, "Let me ask you a question." I quote this. "Was God talking to himself?" He said, "Yeah." I don't know about y'all, but I'm not sure I want to trust a God that sits around talking to himself all day long. He was talking to somebody. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He said, "Let us make man our image." And when he got all done, he said, "That's the way it's supposed to be, because it's very good." Now, I want to pause just for a second. I want you to understand that God made no mistakes. When God put this whole thing together, the earth and mankind, it was good. It's the way it was supposed to be. It was according to God's plan. It was according to his purpose. And it had a standard to it. So this is the way it's supposed to be. But something happened after he put man here to reign and rule. Hallelujah. I'm ahead of myself here someplace. If God, if all he did was so good, how have we gotten to where we are today? God said it's good, but I got to tell you right now, I'm not so sure I live in a good world. I'm not so sure the people around me are good. I'm not so sure what's happening around me is good. There's some pretty evil things going on. How is it we've come so far from the plan and the purpose of God? How do we get to where we are today? How do we get from just as it should be to the mess that we have before us? What went wrong? Well, Genesis chapter 3 gives us the answer to that question. There we go. I know it catch up so far. Okay. When God set man and woman in the garden, he set them there for a reason. Take possession. He said, I want you to take possession. I want you to reign. I want you to rule. I want you to keep it in order. And somehow, we messed that up. He only gave us very simple rules to live by. Matter of fact, he gave us one in particular. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Basically, all God said, if you want to keep this thing going the way it's supposed to be, don't mess with the tree. He didn't give him a whole bunch of commandments. He didn't give him a whole bunch of rules. He just simply said, don't mess with the tree. Now, you would think that Adam and Eve would be able to take care of one simple rule, wouldn't you? Bottom line is they didn't. All they had to do, obey. All they had to do is make a good decision, leave the tree alone, but they couldn't do it. They went around, they made a decision to disobey. Now, got to understand something here. Many times, most times, maybe all times, we give the devil something to work with. God said man is good. God said the creation is good. What went wrong is Adam and Eve, they both, by the way, don't sit there and blame Eve, by the way.
You would say, well, Eve ate of the apple.
So did Adam. I mean, to get Eve to do wrong, it took a devil. All it took Adam was a word from his wife. don't draw no conclusions from what I just said. Okay? The Bible says that the devil showed up in the form of a serpent, very subtle, and he proposed something very, very important for us to understand here today. He looked at the woman. He did not say God's a liar. He did not say that God is not true. He simply said, did God really say that to you? So here we have a problem, because the same question is asked of every Christian, every believer, every pseudo-believer, would-be believer, soon-to-be-a-believer. The same question is asked every time. The devil comes up to you and says, Dave, did God really say that? He doesn't say anything specific, do this, do that, do the other thing. He simply questions the authority and the right of God to pose rules and absolutes upon his creation. Oh, we don't like talking like that. Bottom line is, God's got the right. He owns the whole thing. He owns us. He made us. And he gave us some simple rules to live by. And here comes the devil in every one of our lives. Said, did God really say that? Did God really say you couldn't do this, you shouldn't do that? Hallelujah. And what we have to do is make a decision. Four words the devil uses all the time. Did God really say? Oh, you can leave a church service and be inspired. You can read the Word of God, be inspired. You can know what's right, get up from prayer. Yeah, we're going to do it. Before the day is out, that question was going to be posed to you one way or another. Did God really say that? Did God really say you should give that $10 extra back to the store clerk that gave it to you by mistake? After all, that's a blessing from God. I prayed for money. No? Did God really say you're only supposed to have one spouse? Did God really say you're supposed to be of an opposite gender? Did God you got to be careful about that today. Hallelujah. I'm not here to pick on anybody. I'm simply here to say that God in the beginning and today has some rules for us to live by. The job of the devil is to make each one of us doubt God and to decide for ourselves what's right and what's wrong. Oh, you need to think about that. You need to think about that for a second. The job of the devil is not to tell us that God doesn't exist. I don't think there's a whole bunch of fools around. The book of Psalms says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Most of us look around at the weather and the mountains and the trees and say, well, yeah, something great. That's cool. But his job is to cause you to doubt that God knows what he's talking about. I mean, after all, George, that was thousands of years ago. God, things have changed. That's what I said. We made a mistake someplace. Things have changed. Hallelujah. The devil wants us to decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. Now here's where we begin to run into a problem. When we begin to decide for ourselves whether something is moral, when we begin to decide for ourselves if something is right or wrong, we get ourselves in trouble. How do we get so far from a perfect creation to where we are today? We decided for ourselves that God's way was not the right way. We decided we knew better. Oh, this is going to be a quiet one, I can tell. There are some things that we all agree is wrong, but you know what? There's a lot of things that we don't agree on. When it comes to making decisions that affect our well-being or our feelings or our fun, hello, or a world of other things, do we dare trust our instincts? Or should we answer to a higher authority who's always right? Oh, we have to struggle with you. God's always right. Yeah, pretty much. That's just it. People say, how can you believe that? I guess my only reply has to be, how can you not believe it? Would you rather believe a political candidate or a leader of a philosophy movement? No, I don't think so. They talk about flip-flopping. I'm not going to get into it. I wish they'd throw that word out of the vocabulary. I'm getting tired of hearing that on the news. But just showing how people do change their opinions from day to day. God don't change his opinion. God is the same yesterday, today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow morning. My opinion here, the reason the Lord forbade the eating of the tree and of knowledge of good and evil, he didn't want us to know and understand evil. I do not believe for a moment, as I read the Bible, that God intended for us to know and understand what was evil. We were supposed to remain as we should be, the way we were created. God said, don't mess with that thing. Just leave it alone. You'll not have to worry about it. But no, man and woman decided they needed to mess with that tree. And as soon as they begin to know, they begin to disobey. I had a discussion with someone. I won't say too much about it because I said it last week. But a person who knows better when it comes to sexual preferences. And we were talking back and forth, and she said, and this woman knows better. But she said, well, I think maybe it's biological. And I said, no, it's a choice. Come to find out the reason she thought it was biological, she just found out her brother's gay. Now, I'm not putting that man down, I'm not putting that woman down, but here's the thing. When it strikes at home, when it gets personal, we're willing to change the truth for our own convenience. When we know something is wrong, but there comes a time that us or one of our loved ones is going to be doing it, then all of a sudden what God said doesn't matter anymore. We change it. We decide what God does know. That was then and this is now. Hello. Hallelujah. As soon as people knew, Adam and Eve, that door was open forever. God has set some rules for us to live by, okay? All we have to do is choose to obey him. Okay? Now, if we don't, guess what? We're going to suffer consequences of disobedience. Now, I got to tell you something. In my week, during the week job, I deal with this all the time. I deal with a whole bunch of people, not just one generation, but multiple generations, who do not understand the idea of consequences. Well, if you do this, is going to happen, not to me, it won't. See, people begin to think that the rules aren't fair. So if the rules aren't fair, they must not apply to me. I'll tell you how you can prove that this afternoon. Go out on Interstate 84. I won't say 81 because that's under construction. No one's moving on that. I went out Wednesday. I was supposed to be at a church service at 7 o'clock, and I just sat there. Well, I didn't just sit there. I was not very sanctified. I was mad. I'm looking at my wife. She was with me. She's going to testify. Hallelujah. If you want to find out if the rules apply, go out on your 81. See how many people, if you're doing 70.
I'm looking.
If you're
doing the speed limit 65.
You're going to be passed like you're sitting still. Every one of those people who passed you, and I could be one of them, have made a decision that the rules are unfair, so therefore they no longer apply. So I'm going to put that little button on 74. Because someone told me, I don't know, they lied to me, I may find out, that the state police won't stop you until you do 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. It'll be my luck to find a state trooper who never heard that before. Hallelujah. The consequence will be the ticket that I receive because I chose not to obey the rule. Hallelujah. Things are just that simple. God said, let me get myself in a little more trouble here. I have been convinced over the years that every promise God has given us has had stipulations to it. I hear people, oh, no, there's no strings attached. Man, take that nonsense and throw it away. From Genesis all the way to the end, every time God said, I will, is precluded by it, if you will. If you will do this, I will do that. If you follow after me, I'll bless your coming in and bless your going out. If you choose to follow after me, I'll bless your crops, I'll bless your farms, I'll bless your family. But if you don't, I'll curse those things. Now, it doesn't take a real smart person. Obviously, I figured it out. It doesn't take a real smart person to figure out that God said there are some stipulations here. Hallelujah. But the problem is, between the world, the flesh, and the devil, the world's system, we have begun to make decisions in our lives that says God's rule doesn't apply to me. Now, here's the problem. When we decide that we know more than God does, that's when we choose to follow our own sinful nature and we lose. Hello, church. When we make that decision that God really doesn't know what he's talking about, that's antiquated. I just love when people say that to me.
Oh, that's antiquated.
So is your sin. If you're 40 years old, your sin is centuries old because it began in the Garden of Eden and every generation has confirmed it since. I've had people say, well, it's all because of Adam and Eve. Well, it started there. But your decisions keep it going.
I'm only here because Adam and Eve said no to God.
No. You're here because you also say no to God by refusing to follow his way, by refusing to follow his limits. I don't know what it is about the world we live in that is so afraid of stating things in an absolute form. I just don't get that. This is absolutely wrong. This time, next time, and every time. People are afraid to say that. I watch people with children in school, they're afraid to say no to a child. That's my favorite word, to a child. Now listen. Parents, listen to me.
All the kids say, yeah, my mother and father too.
I think it may have been Lorraine. I don't remember which one of my kids was. But one time when they were the young parents, they asked me, Daddy, do I ever quit saying no to my kids? I said, yeah, when they're 24, 25. The first few years of growing up, it's all directive. We're being told, no, don't do this. The young father, they're going, uh-huh. He knows. It's not because we don't love our children. It's because we need to guide them. They need some structure. They need some absolutes. If your child's going to reach for a hot wood stove this winter, you better have an absolute that says, no, don't touch that thing.
I'm going to let him sit back and decide for himself.
Well, you better get the car warmed up and head out to the emergency room because if the child decides wrong, you're going to get burnt. Is it because he's a bad child? No, someone didn't set some absolutes. Hallelujah. God sets absolutes in our lives. When Adam and Eve disobeyed, they fell. And they set the stage for each one of us to have to make that same decision that they made. Listen, anybody here old enough to remember Flip Wilson? I'm dating myself. He had this character. Devil made me do it. I got news for y'all. Devil never made you do nothing. All he did was make the suggestion. You said, yeah, that's me. I'm up for that. That's what happened in the garden. The devil came, disguised himself as a talking snake. Now, today, I got this thing about snakes. I don't care if they talk or not. I'm out of there. But apparently at one time the snake didn't have a bad rap. I mean, they must have expected the snake to talk. If not, the first thing she should have said, get out of here, talking snake. She didn't. She listened. Maybe we need to learn from that, Brother Dave. We need to understand when something's unnatural, like a talking snake, or a voice is coming to us that we know is not God, or a voice that something's not right, then maybe we need to say, back up, I'm not listening to you. But she didn't. The devil tempted her. Now listen. You got to understand something about the devil here, okay? The devil's a good devil. He's not good in character, but he's real good at what he does. And his job is to tempt us. His job is to present it to us in a way that we make a choice. That's what he did with Adam and Eve. He went to Eve and said, you know, did God really say? The only reason he said that, because if you eat of the tree, you'll be just like him. There's something in man and woman. There's something in humans. We have a God complex. We want to be in charge. We want to be empowered. We want to tell them all what to do. Oh, my first pastor told me this. I've taken it as my own. Y'all thank God that I'm not God. And I'm real glad that you're not God either. Because I guarantee you, the person who decided to block off Interstate 81 on Wednesday when I was trying to get someplace, if I was God, they'd be in a whole bunch of trouble this morning. They'd be directing traffic someplace else. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Some of you's got it. Hallelujah. See, you're all just thankful. But I'm up here talking about the way I drive, not the way you drive. That's all that is. No one to blame. We look at the rules that God gave us. We decide they're not fair. They don't apply. After all, God will blink at that. God will blink at my... And then we rename things. I wasn't going to get on this, but I just feel I want to. We rename things. Instead of calling sin, sin, we call it preferential choices. Alternate lifestyles. Do you know in Russia they call abortion birth control? It's murder no matter where you are. Baseball season. Hallelujah. But we change the name of it to choices and this and that. No. It's sin. It's wrong. God said not to destroy the innocent blood. God said not to do that. Well, it's inconvenient, so therefore it must not apply to me. You'll find out the hard way when you stand before God. Hallelujah. We have a problem. Today we all live in a world full of pluralistic moral values and amoral behavior. Took me a while to come up with that sentence. Hallelujah. We live in a world where there's no longer just one standard of holiness. There's not one right anymore. Right has become a relevant term. Right is what you want it to be. Hallelujah. I read in the book of Judges, the Old Testament, at the very end, just before Israel just kind of destroyed itself, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I got to tell you a little secret if you haven't figured this out yet. If just the people in this church did everything that was right in their own eyes, it would become a destructive force. Wonder what's going on in our society? Wonder why the things are falling apart? Wonder why institutions that have been around for years are self-destructing? We no longer follow the rules. We make them up as we go along. We no longer want to take an order from God. Who's God think he is? That's another sermon. We're bombarded with pluralistic moral values. I got to tell you something. Whether you like it or whether you don't, sin is sin. It's not sin except in the case of, or sin because my family did this, or sin because I don't feel like doing that today. God said no, it's no. You know, I don't know how else you cannot understand thou shalt not. What part of no don't we understand? Thou shalt not. Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. After all, that's not how I interpret it. Get out the Hebrew. Check it out. Thou shalt not means this. Don't do it. There is no other translation. Hallelujah. I had a guy tell me one time, said, well, the Bible is just written by a bunch of people who want to control people. I said, you've never read the book, have you? Because if the book was meant to control, you need to see it didn't control the people in the Bible very well at all. Hallelujah. That's a tool for control. It doesn't work well at all. Glory to God. If we're going to discuss sin, and we need to, hallelujah, we need to sort out God's view of right and wrong from all the others that bombard us from all sorts of other sources. You see, that there is a standard here, and God has that standard. God sets that standard. Anything else has got to be compared to. God compared to the thou shalt nots, and it's okay if you're going to. Yeah, people say, well, the Bible is negative. It's got some no's in it. But count them up. There's a whole lot more you can's than there are you cannots. Hello, church. We don't bother checking that out, do we?
You say, well, Pastor, why don't you study that and get back to me?
No, you study and get back to me. You tell me how many no's there are, and someone tell me how many yeses there are. It took me long enough to figure out there are over 753,000 words in the Bible. I ain't going to count nothing else. Hallelujah. Count the letters. There you go. Hallelujah. You go ahead. Jeff, that's a good idea. You go ahead. Count the letters for me. Amen. We need to understand that there are absolutes. I don't understand. I said this earlier. I'm going to say it now. I don't understand why we're so afraid to set absolutes for our children to live by. Except, oh, gee, that means we'd have to live by them too. I'll have to think about that as we go along. We're so afraid to tell a child no. We're so afraid to tell ourselves no. We are more interested in instant gratification than we are in the long term of being right. Oh, hallelujah, anyway. God forbid we should tell them something that's absolutely right or absolutely wrong. I hear people, I know they're well-meaning, I understand. Well, they're going to decide for themselves. Based on what? I have a man who works with me. He's a minister also, and he's a TSS worker, and he was in a class, and I went and seen him the other day. I said, by the way, how are you making out? He says, well, pretty good, except for one thing. I said, what's that? And one of the high school students he has, they did a study on comparative religions. They were so wrong. I said, and you said what? I said, nothing. But he had to sit there listening, and we got talking, personal stuff after that. How is a young person going to decide on religion if they don't have all the facts about religions? Hallelujah. I asked a teacher one time, I said, how can we teach all religions except Christianity? His answer was interesting. He said, well, the church is supposed to do that. Ooh. Hallelujah. You wonder why I spend so much time sermonizing this stuff. That may be the only thing you're going to get this week. I'll guarantee you're not going to get it on The Price is Right. American Idol, ain't going to see it. Big Brother, nope. Survivor, ain't going to happen. It's going to happen from the pulpits of America as we pump that into you, and then you turn pumping into your children and their children's children. We need to stand up and say, you know, there's some absolutes here. To kill is wrong. To abort is wrong. To steal is wrong. It's amazing to me that people think they can steal if they need something, or if they have something, they don't have something that they want or need. It's okay to take it. Hallelujah. I started to make a political statement. I'll keep that to myself. You and I have to make these decisions every day. We have to stand up and model this for our children, for our families, every day. Every single day. Not only do we have absolutes to live by, we no longer assume responsibility to follow them. Even we say there are absolutes, well, it's not my fault. I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about any of y'all, but I can do something about me. See, here's a little something I heard on a tape just recently. It says, I have the responsibility to teach you. You have the responsibility to learn it. And I sat there going, yeah. It wasn't even a Christian guy that I know of. He's just a social worker. But the point was well taken. We have a responsibility. I have a responsibility as a minister to present this to you. But you have the responsibility to do it. Hallelujah. What went wrong with God's plan? We did. Everything in the beginning was right. Everything was as it should be. Then we begin to make wrong choices. Can someone say amen? We chose to do what we think is right rather than face any inconvenience that obedience to God might produce. See, that's the crux of this whole story. This whole thing has to do with that. Inconvenience. If I follow God, I might not get it my way. If I follow God, I may not have the fun that I think I'm missing out on. See, that I'm telling you, the devil lies to you every time. What the devil was telling Eve is God's holding out on you. He says, you know, you eat of that tree, you're going to be just like that. God don't want you to be like him. He's holding out on you. Go do it. We do the same thing. We hear the same thing.
Just do this. It's fun. Just do this. You don't know what you're missing.
Hallelujah. I've had young people tell me, oh, Pastor, you, or George, you had your good times. Funny, I don't remember. I remember the morning afters. I remember the sicknesses. I don't remember the good times. I guess I was, never mind. If you remember them, you weren't there, that type of thing. Yeah. I don't know why I'm looking at you when I say that. I can figure that out. Glory to God. Glory to God. We choose to do something wrong rather than have to deal with any inconveniences. We need to know how to nurture moral growth in our families. We're coming down to the end of this thing. This is the point I want to make. We need to know how to nurture moral growth in our families. One, by loving them. You say, well, you know, I love my family. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. But can we really know love? Will not follow God? Can we reject the absolutes? Sometimes young people, and I'm not picking on you here, young people, but please listen to me, all of that generation. Sometimes you think friendship interprets as someone who'll let me do anything I want to do. That's not friendship. Your parents, I'm going to get deep on this one. Parents, if you're trying to be your son or daughter's best friend, forget it. You want a best friend, go buy a puppy. That works until a child's about 4, maybe 5 years old. And after that, you got to stand up and be a parent. Come on. Loving your family does not mean letting them do whatever they want to do. Loving your family means telling the truth, and it means being consistent in disciplines. Hello, church. How many times do children get one story one day and one the next? It all depends if mom or dad's in a bad mood. It all depends what's on TV and if someone's watching it. You know, there's a different level of discipline if dad or mom is watching a football game than there is some other times. It needs to be consistent. Truth needs to be consistent. If it's wrong today, I guarantee you it's wrong tomorrow. And let me just throw in here, just because you don't like it doesn't make it wrong. That's where the absolutes come from. You may not like something, but it doesn't make it wrong. You may like something, and God says it's wrong. It's got nothing to do with our personal likes. We need to love our families and nurture them in their moral growth by modeling behavior that's consistent with God's holiness. Let me say example. Turn to your neighbor and say example. We need to live a life that our children can look to and say, that's where I want to be. That's how I want to go. And you know what? That doesn't come from never losing your family, your anger moms and dads. That comes from when you do it wrong, telling your kids, hey, I did that wrong. Don't let them hold you in it. Blackmail don't work no matter what you're talking about. But let your kid know, hey, I blew it. Here's one from my archives.
Doesn't matter what I do. Just do it yourself.
If I'm yelling at... I love this stuff. You get a child who's boisterous. You don't know anything about that. You only have 6 kids. But you get a child who's won't quit yelling, won't quit making noise in the house. What do? Will you quiet down? Wait a minute. The child is being obnoxiously noisy. So what we just did is lower ourselves to that level to become more obnoxious and noisy to get that child to do something other than what we just did. The look on kids' face, you go up and say, excuse me, when they're yelling, excuse me, can I talk to you for a second? Quiet down. But you're giving them an example of what you want them to do.
I want my children to grow up and be honest. The phone rings. If it's for me, I'm not here. How many examples you want me to give, parents? Come on. How many?
I had a parent tell me this the other day. I don't mean tell stories out of school, but this was just worth it. They're riding down the road. They got sons on about 9, maybe a little older. And someone pulled out in front of them. Dad was driving. Mom was riding. Little boy in the back. And all of a sudden, from the back seat comes this tirade of expletives. You stupid son of a... And I said, excuse me. Where do you think he learned that from?
Sounds just like his father.
When we do those things, our children learn from us. We need to set the pace. We need to model absolutes. If something is wrong for our children, guess what? It's wrong for us.
Send the kids to bed early because I want to watch that R-rated thing on you know, the Larry Springer, whatever that thing is.
Oh, gee, if it's okay if you let the kids stay up and watch it. Oh, I don't want them to see that. Hello? Maybe we shouldn't look at that. Now, all you people who watch Jerry Springer, don't get mad at me. Don't write me no letters here, okay? Allie, go to our website and send me a message, okay? Allie. Delete. 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 Anyway. Hallelujah. We need to hold one another accountable. If we're going to provide nurturing, if we're going to nurture morality, we need to have some accountability. Our kids need to be accountable, and so do we. We need to be accountable one to another, okay? Hallelujah. Every one of us are responsible to follow God's rules. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, kids, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, whatever. All are responsible to follow God's rules. We are all responsible to resist the temptations offered by the devil. And we're all responsible to know and follow God's absolutes. Hallelujah. God has given us an example.
People say, I can't do that.
God knows that. He's given us an example. You know, God's amazing. We sing Amazing Grace. That's probably one of my favorite songs. God's just plain amazing. He seeks us. He loves us. Even when we betray him. You know, if you read that third chapter of Genesis to yourself, they blew it. And here comes God looking at Adam. Adam. Oh, Adam. Now, what Adam and Eve did not surprise God. He knew about it. He was giving them a chance. Adam, what have you done? Now, parents, how many times, don't raise your hands, have you looked at your child? They're sitting in the middle of the floor with a cookie jar smashed around them. There's chocolate all over their face and little chocolate chips falling down their chin. And you say, what have you done? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you do that to a 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old kid, they're going to go, oh, Father, I know I shouldn't have done this, but I got into the cookie jars. You may want to hear that. It ain't going to happen. But you gave him the chance, and that's what God did. Adam, what did you do? Hallelujah. He's so amazing. Even after the betrayal, even after the worst choice possible, he still come looking for him. Oh, glory to God. God gives us forgiveness in spite of our betrayals. He gives us eternal life in spite of our betrayal. And he gave us Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death in spite of our betrayals. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Hallelujah. Brother Jeff, can I get you to play the piano in the background here? I want you to ask yourself a personal question today. This is not for public consumption. Don't nod ahead. Don't look at anybody. Husbands, wives, don't go poking each other. But when's the last time you battled with sin? Not played with it. Battled it. Something I know I shouldn't do. I want to. Battle. I want to. I shouldn't. But I want to, but I shouldn't. But I want to, but I shouldn't. What was the outcome? Who won? God's example of source, or our source of strength, Our source of support is through Jesus. May I remind you in closing that the Bible says in the garden, Jesus was tempted. He said, if it's at all possible, let this cup pass from me. That was a very polite way of saying, I don't want to do this. But nevertheless, thy will be done. You could also take note that he was in prayer when he did his battles. Listen, I'm not some kind of prude. I'm not some kind of fool up here that's going to shout and tell you to do this and tell you that. I understand that sin is fun. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't be so tempted. If there wasn't something we could gain from it, a feeling, a finance, a whatever, we wouldn't be tempted to do it. Adam and Eve stood to gain godlike immortality. We tend to try to gain a lot less. Maybe it's getting over on our neighbor. Maybe it's getting over on the bank. Parents, don't try to get over on your kids. They're too smart for you. And kids, don't try to get over on mom and dad because they've already been there. The things you're doing, they probably invented. Hallelujah. But God still reaches towards us. God, through Jesus, can make us faithful. Pastor, how do I do this? If I want to do it, how do I do it? Through Christ. Through relationship with Jesus Christ. I think sometimes, Brother Bob, it's like we're afraid to tell God that we're tempted. He knows. He's waiting to help. Oh, God, that woman in that office, she sure gave me the right look there. I talk to him. God, help me. God, help me. I was listening to an old country western song the other day called Please Help Me, I'm Falling. I was amazed that in probably the 50s when that was sung, early 60s, the man was lamenting that he was about to sin and he was crying out for help. Today we don't even think of it. We need to cry out. We need to cry out. Jesus, make us faithful. Jesus can help us resist sin. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. God's got all we need. I'm not here to call everybody bad names. I'm not here to call you a sinner, say you're doing bad. I'm here to say the church, of which you're a part, needs to stand up, make some absolute statements, and live an absolute life. We need to set the pace back to holiness. We need to give people that we have contact with something to look at other than the rock star, the sports star, or whoever. We need to be the hero that someone can look up to. Living right. Struggling and winning. Being faithful to God. Resisting sin. Hallelujah. God will make us faithful followers of his absolutes. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Jesus is our rock. He's our strength to overcome sin. Father, in Jesus' name, make us faithful followers. Cause us, Father God, to recognize your absolutes. Cause us to cry out, oh God, I'm failing miserably, but I want to do it right. God, that thing looks so good, but you've said no. Father, help me not to justify my sin. Help me not to explain away your statements of morality. Father, what you're asking of me is not popular. It's not even possible on my own strength. But I'll choose to believe that with you all things are possible. Help me today. Set me free from my greeds and my lusts. Help me, oh God. Recognize absolutes. Help me to pass them on to other generations. Not only in my speech, but in my actions. Bring us back to being a people that are just as we should be. Bring us back to the beginning. In Jesus' name. I encourage you this week to fight the good fight of faith. I encourage you when that thing comes up to say no. I encourage you when you don't want to say no, cry out to God for the strength to say no. Don't buy the lies of the world. Well, it's just a choice. It's just an alternate lifestyle. When God said no, he meant no. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, as we leave this place, I pray for strength for all of us. That we can say no to what you say no to, but embrace the yeses, the things you allow. May we walk in strength, may we walk in power, may we walk in victory. As we leave this place, Father God, I prophesy health, wealth, prosperity. I pray success over God's people, young people, old people, in between. May we all walk in the absolute truth of God. In Jesus' name. Take a moment to hug a neck and shake a hand. I know we did that earlier, but I think after a message like this, we just need to say hi. Annie Quantipolis, pray for you over here. Sister Marilee, could you come over here?